Now to the remote forests of far eastern Russia. During the Cold War, North Korea sent prisoners there to work as loggers in labor camps. Many Koreans are still there, no longer prisoners, but doing dangerous work and living apart from the local population. NPR's Moscow correspondent Gregory Pfeiffer went to one timber camp in the region of Amur.
Russia's Far East today is a bit like the American Wild West used to be, vast tracts of unsettled land. Here, rolling hills covered by scrubby evergreen forest called the taiga stretch endlessly. In the 1970s, the Kremlin began a colossal railway project to help develop the region. The Baikal-Amur Railway was considered one of the great follies of the late Soviet era. Intended to help develop Russia's Far East, the project remains unfinished as the region's population continues to drop. But train is still the most reliable way to travel to the project's main crossroads, the snowbound town of Tinda. A collection of Soviet concrete slab buildings, Tinda is only 30 years old, but it's already decrepit. It's similar to many other Soviet-era settlements, except this one has a compound of long wooden buildings on the edge of town. At the end of a narrow road, a tall gate blocks the compound entrance, next to a guardhouse and a big searchlight. The complex is surrounded by an old wooden fence and a string of rusting barbed wire. Inside, conditions look very basic. There's a red communist North Korean flag flying and prominent banners and monuments bearing slogans written in large red Korean characters. Occasionally, the gate opens to allow laborers through, usually in groups of three. Walking along the road, they look bedraggled and weather-beaten, and they're forbidden to speak to anyone. This North Korean walking along the snow-swept road doesn't want to talk. Speaking in fairly good Russian, he says he doesn't understand the language. Others nearby appear to want to talk, but they're clearly afraid to. Near the compound's entrance, local resident Lyudmila Alexandrovna says the workers keep to themselves.
When we come across them in the forest, they're afraid of us. We used to feel sorry for them, looking so poor and dressed in their black work clothes. But now we're used to them. After all, their lives here are far better than in North Korea.
During the Cold War, the North Koreans working here were prisoners, sent to help pay off Pyongyang's debt to Moscow. But now North Koreans travel here voluntarily. They're paid to work for private Russian logging companies, and only those in good standing with the authorities back home are allowed to come. Inside a timber company office, North Koreans wearing military-style clothes and pins bearing images of North Korean leader Kim Jong-il can be seen coming in and out. But despite their obvious presence, few people in Tinda will talk about the North Korean logging camps, how much the laborers are paid, or in what conditions they live and work. Nikolai Sarnowski, chairman of the Turan-Lies Timber Company, says workers' camps are run entirely by North Korean managers as they see fit.
They live there how they want to, not how I want them to live. They even build their own barracks. We only give them the materials to do it, but they carry out all their agreements with us.
There are reports of abuses, frequent accidents, and food shortages. But local officials say they don't have jurisdiction over the North Koreans. They say the terms of their work are controlled by an agreement between Moscow and Pyongyang. Mikhail Mikhailov is the deputy head of the regional administration.
We cooperate with the North Koreans, but only through the timber companies. We've never had any problems. In the 30 years the North Koreans have worked here, relations have been perfectly normal.
Logging is one of the main occupations in the Russian Far East. It's a poorly regulated industry. Huge volumes of timber are cut illegally and sold cheaply to China, Japan, and elsewhere. But most Russians aren't willing to undertake the backbreaking work, legal or illegal. The North Koreans provide a very cheap source of labor for the Russian timber companies, by hand, without the help of timber harvesters or other heavy machinery. Russian lumberjack Yuri Mitkin says he's worked alongside North Koreans.
It's a very hard life. The work is dangerous, and there's nowhere even to wash properly. I don't know how much they're paid, but it can't be a lot. And they're under constant surveillance.
A massive saw cuts logs into boards inside a processing plant 20 miles south of Tinda. There are North Koreans here as well, working alongside Russians, but only allowed to communicate through their North Korean foreman. Out here in the forest, it's desolate and freezing in the winter. In summer, the woods are hot, humid, and swarm with mosquitoes. The North Koreans come here for 3 years and sometimes stay longer. Estimates of how many North Koreans are working in the region vary. One official here says there are 1,600, but a former manager with one of the big logging companies says he thinks his firm alone employed about 6,000. And he says there's no shortage of people hoping to improve their bleak lives in North Korea with years of backbreaking labor in Russia's Far East. Gregory Pfeiffer, NPR News.